This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
March Madness is alive and well as we are live out here at the bar, the Clevelander Bar and Grill in downtown Cleveland. If you are on your way, it'd be weird if you are on your way to the Robert Morris game because that's going on currently.
Yeah.
And Robert Morris has pulled it close. But if you're on your way to the Vandy St. Mary's game, stop on by and see us. If you just need a great place to enjoy the vibe, I will tell you, in the break, we got another Vandy chant. I think they're just spelling Vanderbilt.
Well, they did a VU thing at the end, but you might be right. For such a smart school, just spelling out Vandy.
I don't give you credit for spelling your alma mater as part of a chant. You're kind of telling on yourself you're not a good sports school if that's what you're doing.
And they also get lazy with it, and they don't spell it out the whole way, and they just do Vandy.
Yeah, like, come on. It's Vanderbilt. After, I believe his name is Cornelius Vanderbilt. That would be Anderson Cooper's, like, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Put some respect on that name.
After beating Alabama in football, I don't know much could top Vanderbilt's season in the athletics program, but getting some nice wins would be there. This is what we're talking about here, though. This is it, right? This little stretch right here is exactly what was missing out of yesterday.
Yep.
We have two potentially big-time upsets on the horizon. Neither one might end up coming through, but we're having a good time.
I mean, hell, Baylor – sorry, because I'm looking at the screen. Baylor, Alabama only being up by two with 7 minutes to go against a 15 seed. Maybe that's the better point. I don't need every game to be an upset. I just need the convincing threat
of
an upset.
You need a chance. Like, this is the win right here. This isn't. It doesn't matter win or lose. We got it close game, and more importantly, locally, we got close games.
Now, you and I have tried, as the Cavs have the Suns tonight, they're trying to end their three-game losing streak. You and I have tried to make some sense of this, and just trying to understand, like, all right, what matters, what doesn't matter. I do think it's interesting that we went from going streaking 3 games ago and having a 16-game winning streak, the best in franchise history, the best of the season, and running away with the number one seed to now, I'm not trying to call them out because they had a good conversation about it, but like the morning show said, is tonight a must-win game? It's like, I would think there's no must-win games left for the Cavs unless this losing streak really lingers.
Yeah.
But I do think that highlights, it's not to call them out, it's to say I think that highlights how quickly things have changed, where after three losses and three very sloppy losses that should have been wins, how people are suddenly the concern is starting to creep in.
Well, actually, I like that you brought up the morning show because I wanted to highlight something. I thought Owen had the best point of the entire segment when Owen mentioned the idea that between the relationship between Gilbert and Ishbia, this would be a the Cavs are going to win this game. But the problem with that sentiment, Nick, is that suggests that the Cavs could have won the previous three games. It was just a lack of effort on their behalf.
So I don't know if it's effort, if it's focus. I don't know.
I mean, Mobley said they got complacent. Mobley says they get these leads, and they've had three straight double-digit leads, and then they get complacent.
I mean, I think – so listen, I think the reason why it's not time to panic with the Cavs, and the reason why I think – I do think this is going to be a make-or-break weekend for a lot of people. My personal barometer of concern, though, is not triggered – because I do think it's a little bit of taking the eye off the ball. I think it is a little bit of maybe got yourself out of your rhythm by resting starters too much. I think it is a little bit of senioritis. Like, I don't think it's one thing driving this. I think it's four very small things, which if you fix any one of those four, you get the win over. I know the names. I know Durant. I know the names of the Suns.
Yeah.
And they're not a good basketball team.
No, they're not a good basketball team. But the idea that just because the owner doesn't like the other owner to such a high degree that we could all of a sudden flip the switch and have this thing turned around, I'd almost be insulted if they go ahead and just absolutely de-pants the Suns tonight.
Like, what do you think? Does Dan Gilbert go up to him and go, guys, there's an extra 100K for every man in this locker room.
We got bonuses left and right.
If he beats Matt Ishbia.
Maybe. That relationship is apparently that – they hate each other that much. It might just be the case.
I mean, people have suggested in Cleveland if the other Ishbia, as he's known, if Matt Ishbia's brother buys the White Sox, then
Gilbert's
Dan Gilbert
buy the Guardians
has to buy the Guardians and continue to put boots to asses.
I would love on the White Sox. I want this on the record right now. He meddles a lot. I would love Dan Gilbert as a baseball owner in this city.
I don't know.
Spends a lot of money.
I don't know that he will.
He would.
I think one of the reasons, I think the financial security blanket that is owning an NBA team, which is why the Celtics sold for $6 billion yesterday. What baseball team not named the Dodgers is getting sold for $6 billion? And I feel
the
like.
The Yankees?
Okay. That's. Although I guess I'm saying Boston, so big market, big market, big market. But I would imagine that the average sale price. I did not do the math on this because I didn't know where we were going to go here. I would imagine the average sale price of an NBA team is quite more substantial than the average sale price of an MLB team, and a lot of that's just tied to income and how money is shared in baseball. I don't know why we went here.
I mean, we could go down that road if you want to.
I am on DayQuil. Can I have an out on this?
Yeah, you can have an out.
Is this like a phone a friend?
Oh, we could do like you just like you hit a button and then you turn around on the voice. And
yes.
This is like you made your decision.
Yeah. So, is this weekend your breaking point for the Cavs? Look at that hard pivot.
If they lose tonight, then I'll just be convinced they're just not. They are, as Evan Mobley said, they're complacent.
Yeah. Now, is that.
We have the senioritis going on.
Can we just say, though, if they are complacent, isn't that better than anything else?
Well, that's what we got to be rooting for, right? I can't be rooting for the idea that they've been playing their ass off for three games and have looked as bad as they have.
No, that's fair.
I mean, because that's not it's really not good if that was the case.
I mean, I think the most concern, you know me, I have said for a while, I think, I don't want to call it an implosion. The Cavs were the fifth seed last year. They weren't one of the top two seeds. But the reason why the playoffs weren't more competitive last year is health. I think Donovan was worn down. I think Darius was. I don't think Darius ever recovered. Jarrett got injured. That is the – so if we start talking about panic, the only thing that can really change this weekend for me is if it becomes more obvious that Jarrett's not going to be able to play through this or he's going to be 70% or
– hand injury.
That the guards continue some sort of slight – de-evolution performance-wise.
And by the way, one great game doesn't turn that into all the answers are solved either.
Oh, no, that's true. That's 100%. Like, we're at a point where we really should just be paying attention to stretches of basketball. And then this is what bugged me about the where I kind of snapped yesterday of the crowning the Cavs thing.
Yeah.
Of like,
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't think you should just dismiss the three-game stretch as nothing. I also don't think you should make it much.
Like I don't know that we should look at it like just a three-game stretch either. Although they won games previously, I think this is closer to like a seven- or eight-game stretch in my opinion.
But, like, there's a part of me that says every game that you kind of claw closer to, being within 10 games, so game 73 on.
Yeah.
I'll start to get a little more anxiety. I'll start to be – I'd like to get back to the Cavalanches and the winning. But to what you said, I do think for most fans, it'll take one game.
Well, and I think the –
I'm not sure it should, but I think just to combat what you said there, I think for a lot of people, if they came out and blew the doors off Phoenix, well, I guess we're going to go back to being comatose with the Cavs.
Yeah, which, again, it would not erase the struggles that we've seen recently. I think for a lot of fans, though, they've – this Cavs team has earned the right to kind of make themselves look good in the first round of the postseason, and then that let us be the confidence it takes us in the second round, and then we go from there.
Okay, so specific to what you're saying there, I think quite frankly, my patience is, it's not waning. I don't want to say that. I think I'm intrigued by where the Cavs are right now, but in reality, with 14 games, I think it's 14, 16 games left. There's really only so much that we should react to.
Yeah.
Now, if this turns into a seven-game losing streak, that's by far the worst losing streak you've had. Then you're going to 10 games,
but
11
also,
games.
Also like a losing streak where, again, it feels like there's no way of them getting out of it either. That would be bad.
I don't know I love putting all the pressure on tonight's game because I mean,
it's a Friday night game against the Suns team where, between the idea that Kevin Durant is 1 foot out the door, they are likely going to fire their head coach at the end of the season. Booker's got no idea what the direction of his future is going to be. Like, they are melting down in many ways. But again, we shouldn't have looked at the Kings as if anything was substantial there either.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Is this weekend your breaking point with your patience with the Cavs? I'm not there yet. I don't know how far. And here's the thing. I think this is going to be one of those things where I don't know what the tipping point actually is, and I don't think I'll really know about when my patience will expire with this losing streak or bad stretch of basketball. I don't think I'm going to know until I see it. I actually think
so. That means how they win or lose 100% matters in the upcoming games.
Well, yes, but not in any one single. Maybe the better way to put it is, I think the West Coast road trip has allowed me, because I'm not watching it in real time. I know I wake up at 5:30.
Okay.
I know the result afterwards, and then I go back and rewatch it.
You can mentally prepare yourself better in those games.
I think so. And so maybe that's where I'm coming from.
Because I've had to ride the roller coaster of them blowing these double-digit leads and me thinking I can go to bed but not going to bed, staying with it, and then watching them blow it.
Yeah, so who knows? I don't know. 216-474-0092. Is this weekend your breaking point with your patience for the Cavaliers? We were talking about the NCAA tournament. It looks like Baylor is about to pull off a slight upset over Mississippi State. Now, is a 9 over an 8, is that a true upset?
You got to tell me the Vegas line on the game before, because there's been some seeds. There was a 12-5 where the 12 was actually favored by Vegas. I'd have to go look at the Vegas line before I can go ahead and give that any sort of – let me look it up really quick.
I kind of feel like for me, it's once you get to a 10 versus 7, once you get to a single versus a double-digit seed is when I start to – To get on the upset-ometer, as it were.
So Mississippi State was giving up about a point and a half, which is actually kind of what you would think normally should happen for an 8 versus 9.
Yeah.
But again, it's been some weird setups with Vegas this year because the bracketologist did not favor a lot of teams, like Drake, for instance, that had 30-plus wins and had some big-time wins, and they just kind of threw him in as a 12 seed. So, slight upset, but nowhere close to, like, Alabama and Robert Morris, obviously.
Buckeyes 2003 sang, first day sucks, however, there's nothing more exciting than the atmosphere with the Elite Eight when Kentucky and Notre Dame played in Cleveland many years ago. The most intense game I've ever been to for basketball. I do think this is the catch-22. You mentioned that the Sweet 16 should be where everybody gets into it.
Yeah.
I think by then, though, the novelty wears out, too.
So that's the problem. I think so many people get so wrapped up into the first 2 days, first 4 days, this weekend, and it's not when the sport is actually at its best. If you were just to tell people, you've never watched college basketball, but I want to show you where the actual best games happen with the most intensity, most on the line, like we started the Sweet 16.
Nick and JP here live from the Clevelander Bar and Grill in downtown Cleveland. Come on out and see us. I want to say a big thanks to our friends at Bud Light. And we have a big, big to-do in college football leading off quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.